Church. Would you this evening take your Bibles with me and turn to the book of... Some of you woke up there, didn't you? And this week, as evening, as we kick off this new series, I'm going to give you some of the greatest truths that you've ever heard regarding relationships. The first one that I want to share with you tonight may be the most revolutionary. Listen closely. I'm going to give you the key to a happy marriage is... Is that too loud, Aiden? Aiden covered his ears there. And we're going to have kids crying. The secret to long-lasting friendships is... And you need to write this one down. If you want to mend that strained relationship in your life, you're going to have to implement in your life. Am I helping you yet? Is anybody getting the truth? Is this changing your life yet? Awesome message so far, right? There's only about 30 more minutes left of this, and some folks are saying, I'm never coming back. Has that strengthened your marriage? Have you gotten a whole lot of stuff there as I'm trying to share and we hear that? Is that symbol annoying? Sure. Do you wish it would stop? Of course. Is it affecting, if I were to continue to do that throughout the message, your ability to learn and grow? It might affect some of your ability to stay awake in church for the first time, but you're not going to learn much, right? This is exactly how some of us sound to our mates, our friends, our children, our extended family, our coworkers, our neighbors, and our fellow church members. It doesn't matter how great my message is tonight. If we continue doing that, you're going to get absolutely nothing from it. I'm not going to communicate with you. You're not going to get any truth. In fact, if I continued much longer, some would probably start walking out the back door, out into the lobby. We're not going to have much communication, much profit. You are not going to be helped. You'll be distracted. You'll be annoyed. You won't be able to hear the truth because that noise will drown out the important message from God's word. And the same thing is happening in our relationships all of the time because of what I'm going to talk about tonight and what we're going to study over the next couple of months on Sunday evenings from God's word. Now I will have you turn somewhere in God's word without doing that. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, please. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. Over the next, I'm not sure, 8 or 9 weeks, whatever it may end up being, we're going to look at this chapter verse by verse, seeking to learn how to build strong biblical relationships and biblically mend the broken ones in our lives. We need to understand, and it's good as you're studying God's word to understand what it is you're studying, the context of what you're studying. 1 Corinthians is a book that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, the church that struggled with carnality. They struggled with a perverted love. They struggled with some other things. And Paul is writing 1 Corinthians, really a corrective book. He's writing to teach them to get right with God. And in 1 Corinthians 12, we spent some time there earlier this year, Paul is kind of teaching them how the church is supposed to work. He's teaching them that the church is many members but one body, and we have differing gifts, and we have differing roles, and we have different responsibilities, but the church is all supposed to work together as the body of Christ so that we can be effective in sharing the love of Christ with those around us. And that's what he's talking about in 1 Corinthians number 12. And you can even see in verse 31, he says, "But covet 12:31, the last verse of that chapter, he says, but covet earnestly the best gifts." He's talking about everybody has different gifts. "And yet show I unto you a more excellent way." You see, in their church, they were all focused on different things. And Paul's trying to teach them how the church is supposed to work. And then he moves into 1 Corinthians 13, what we would often call the love chapter, although the word love is not found one time in that chapter, but we often would call that the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. And Paul then goes on to describe what the Christian is supposed to look like, what the best gift, if you will, in the Christian life is, and what we ought to seek to be. And we're going to break that down characteristic by characteristic over the next several Sunday nights. And I believe if we'll apply these truths to our lives, it will make us better employees. It will make us better friends. It will make us better Christians. It will make us better neighbors. It will make us better husbands, wives, children, brothers, sisters, teachers, students, any role in life, if we will apply what we will learn in this series, it will cause us to have more healthy relationships. It will it will keep us from blowing holes in some of our relationships. It will cause us to have the love that Christ intended his disciples to have. By the way, the Bible says, as Christ was speaking to his disciples, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that ye have love one to another." The love, the spirit that we have is very important to God. It's very important in our Christian lives. It was very important to Jesus Christ. And we're going to look tonight, the title of tonight's message is, "What is charity?" We're going to be looking at the characteristics of charity. What is charity? And this idea of a Christ-like love to help us build healthy relationships and mend broken ones. Beginning in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, would you follow along with me in verse number 1? I don't believe I need to be long tonight, but I ask you to pay attention closely as we share these introductory thoughts. Beginning in verse number 1, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as what, church? As sounding or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." We're going to take a look tonight at the characteristics in an introductory lesson as we move into this chapter, the importance of charity in the life of the Christian. We think, when we say the word charity often, we think of maybe a nonprofit organization, the Red Cross. I give to charity, and there's nothing wrong with that. We think of that idea of charity as maybe goodwill for those in need. That's not what the word charity here is in this passage. We think of, and we call it the love chapter. In fact, the title of this series is simply love. You say, how'd you come up with that title? We couldn't come up with anything else. So that was, we got a little basic and just put love up there. And we think of, even love has many different definitions. When we think about love, what does that mean? Is that Valentine's Day? Is love a physical attraction? Is love just a strong feeling for? Well, if that's the case, I love ice cream. That's not the, and all God's people said, I appreciate that. It's a good church. He said amen to that. And he amen at the right places here today, tonight. But that's not the word here either. Just a strong attraction for, or strong feelings for, or a strong appreciation for. We'll use that, and even in the Bible, there are different words for love. This word of charity, and by the way, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 8, it tells us, "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves." That's a pretty powerful verse. Above all things, this is the most important thing. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. Colossians 3, verse number 14 says, "And above all things, put on charity." Paul said in Colossians to the church, he said, "And above all things, put on charity." We need charity in the church. And we're not talking about giving money to the poor, although I'm not against that. The love of Christ may manifest itself in our lives in helping others. But we're not talking about that. But we need charity in the church. We need charity in our marriages. We need charity in our world. We need to get back to a biblical, Christ-like, Christ-honoring charity in our relationships. A biblical, Christ-like, Christ-honoring love in our relationships. I have simply 2 points for you tonight. The first one is the definition of charity. We're going to be studying charity over the next few weeks and what the attributes of it are and what the characteristics of it are, but we need to understand the definition of charity. It is here the Greek word agape or agapao. It is a selfless, sacrificial, unconditional love. When it talks about charity here, that word agape is a selfless, sacrificial, unconditional love. There are 4 types of love in the Bible. We won't study all of them. There's the Philadelphia love, that brotherly love. There's the phileo love, that fleshly love. The agape is the highest of the 4 types of love found in the Bible. And that is what Christ says, above all things, put on charity. More than just a brotherly love. More than just a fleshly love. In fact, this root word, if you study the Greek of the word here in 1 Corinthians 13 that's found over and over for charity, it comes from the same root word that we find in John 3:16. For God so what? Loved the world. The love, that's that same root word, God. This is the love that God had for you that led him to send Jesus Christ to earth to die for you. That is the love, he says, that selfless, sacrificial, unconditional. No matter what someone does to me, I still love them. No matter how they betrayed me, I still love them. No matter what's happened there, the love of Christ that we ought to have shed abroad in our hearts, the Bible says, it's that same word that we find in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world. It carries along with it the idea of, I love something so much that I will do anything for it. I love something so much, there is no sacrifice too great for me to do that. And that is, by the way, we understand that love, generally, humanly speaking, maybe when it comes to a mate, when it comes to a child. Well, I love my child so much that I'll do anything for it. May I remind you, 1 Corinthians 13 was not written to the marriage, and it was not written to the home, and it was not written to the parent. It was written to the church. And he's going to go and break it down and say, this is the love we're to have for one another in the church. This is the love we're to have for those in the world. The definition of charity. I told you we have 2 points, and here's the second point. Don't get used to this, all right, folks? Brother Ryan had a little effect on me the last 2 weeks, and his short messages. Number two, now, he did a great job, but I was mad at him. I said, you're getting people used to shorter preaching. I don't preach that short, Brother Ryan. Number two, the description of charity. I want you to see chapter 13, beginning in verse number 13. Would you read verse 13 with me? 1 Corinthians 13:13. Let's read it aloud. Ready? Begin. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. There were different gifts in the church, in the early church. There were different gifts that we believe some gifts have ceased. There are some gifts that we no longer have that are no longer needed in the church because God has given us his completed revelation. He's given us his completed word. We don't believe that there is a need for the gift of tongues any longer in the church today. And in fact, what many folks would say is the gift of tongues isn't even the gift of tongues that they had in the Bible. It's not just some unintelligible language. The gift of tongues was as somebody spoke in a different language, people that didn't understand that language could understand them clearly. I spoke in Spanish, and if you didn't understand Spanish, you heard it in English. I spoke in French and you heard it in Spanish. That was the gift of tongues in the Bible. We believe that that gift has ceased because God has given us the completed word. But he says in verse number 13, he says, now abideth. There are still some gifts, if you will. There are still some attributes. There are still some things that abide. Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. In our lives, I would dare say that we often don't view charity as the greatest attribute we could have. We often don't view charity as the most important attribute that we could have in our lives. We often say, there's a man of great faith. We can see that. There's a man, that person, they hope no matter what happens. They never lose hope. We see that, but when was the last time we said, there's somebody, they're just filled with charity. They're filled with a Christ-like love. They're filled with an unconditional, selfless, sacrificial, do anything for you love. And he says, the greatest of these is charity. The description of charity in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it is described as the ultimate attribute to strive for. As a Christian, we ought to seek to be defined and characterized by charity. As a mate, we ought to seek to be defined and characterized by charity. As a brother or a sister, you ought to seek to be defined and characterized by charity. At work, you ought to seek to be defined and characterized by charity. With your neighbors, in every relationship of life, someone who truly loves and lives forever, ever, for others. Could that be said of you? If somebody were describing you, is that how they describe you? Is that how they would describe me? Well, that person, they just have a never-ending giving heart. They love people for who they are. They love people that have hurt them. They just such a forgiveness about them, such a charity about them, such a Christ-like love, such a selfless, sacrificial, unconditional love. There's no guile in them. They are the picture of charity. Boy, I think about that and I'm convicted. That's not always, I think, how I could be described. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 14, Paul said a few chapters over, he said, "Let all your things be done with charity." Let all your things be done with charity. By the way, that's not natural. Paul told the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, he said, "For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's." Paul said, I don't have anybody that naturally wants to care for others. Everybody wants to care for themselves. But Paul said, let all your things be done with charity. If you read the writings of Paul, by the way, sometimes we get confused and we start to think, well, somebody that has love, they're a compromiser. No, somebody that has love is a Christ follower. Well, somebody that they're too nice to everyone. And I'm not saying there are not things to stand for. And I believe if you've been in our church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you would say that I seek to preach hard and preach God's word strong. And there are things, we will hit some of the issues and we will preach strong against things. But sometimes I think we view love, we view charity as this idea of we're soft and we're compromisers. Oh no, Paul said, above all, have fervent charity. Above all these things, put on charity. The great faith, hope, charity, the greatest of these is charity. And he said, I have no man who will naturally care for your estate, because all seek their own and not they don't seek to help others. Naturally, charity is not natural in any of us. Selfishness is natural in all of us. And that's why Paul was a strong preacher that preached God's word and got in trouble for it and got beaten and stoned and shipwrecked. And Paul got in a whole bunch of trouble. But you know what Paul's theme through all of that was? Put on charity. We must have charity in our relationships. We must have charity in our lives. Naturally, we lack charity in relationships. We abound in selfishness. We abound in self-serving. Why do we struggle to find lasting relationships? Why do we struggle to mend broken ones? Because we struggle with biblical, Christ-like charity. The definition of charity, I gave it to you, agape love, that selfless, sacrificial, unconditional love. The description of charity, I want you to see, it's described, I tricked you, I had some points under my second point. It's described, number one, as better than impressive attributes. I want you to read verse number one with me aloud again. Ready? Begin. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 13, 1, if we're all there. Ready? Begin. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You know what Christ said? He said, charity is better than impressive attributes. I stutter sometimes. I just did it in this message. I'll mess up on a word. I'll say a wrong word. I don't have the tongue of angels. I don't have I'm not a great orator. But he said, though I speak, I have beautiful speech, and I can impress you with my speech, these impressive attributes about myself. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, he said, if I don't have charity, that's what I sound like. In your relationship, if you don't have charity, when you try to talk to somebody, and we have somebody we love, we want to correct them. It's been said before, rules and regulations without relationship result in rebellion. If we don't have charity, you know what? Those that love us here, or those that should love us here, those that we're close to, those at work, if we don't have a Christ-like spirit, you know what they hear? It's kind of like Charlie Brown's teacher in that old Peanuts movie, right? Wah, 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 wah. And that's what the Bible says, I'm as sounding brass. I'm a tinkling cymbal. It's just a loud, annoying, distracting sound. It has no effect. It has no impact. We must in our lives, none of it matters without charity. Without charity, we are the cymbal. Yes, it's great to have impressive attributes if they are used with charity to impact others. And you say, well, you don't understand. I have this skill, and that's impressive. And I have this career, and that's impressive. And I have these resources that I've amassed to myself, and that's impressive. But I would ask, how are you using those? How are they being defined and used and molded with charity to impact impact the life of someone else. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. It's just an annoying sound that it's not beautiful at all. It has no effect, no impact, other than causing kind of just grating on people. That's what happens in our relationships when love isn't driving our communication. When love isn't prevalent, a Christ-like, selfless, sacrificial love from parent to child, brother to sister, husband to wife, co-worker, employee to employer, employer to employee, church member to church member. When our relationships are built on charity, now all of a sudden, it doesn't matter the attributes we have, the love will draw us one to another. Not only is it better than impressive attributes, charity, the Bible describes it here, is better than God-given gifts. Charity is better than God-given gifts. The first half of verse number 2, notice what it says. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, that's pretty impressive. The gift of prophecy, I can kind of foresee things. I can see what's coming up. There were prophets in the Old Testament. I believe the gift of prophecy is still there. It's not necessarily seeing into the future in the way of foretelling as the prophets did in the Old Testament. But that idea of even the preacher or whatever it might be, the gift of prophecy. And he says, though I have the gift of prophecy, I understand all mysteries. I have all knowledge. That's pretty amazing. You know what the Bible says? He says, if I have not charity, the last three words of that verse, I am nothing. God gives every Christian spiritual gifts at salvation. God has given you have gifts, and I have gifts, and your gifts differ from mine, and we have different gifts to bring to the body of Christ. And if we don't use them with charity, it doesn't matter how impressive we are, it doesn't matter our gifts, if they don't come from a heart of charity, the Bible says they're worthless. But if we use them from a heart of charity, our lives and our relationships will be blessed. If we don't, our lives and our relationships get filled with pride because we say, look at my gift. Look at what I have. Look at what I've accomplished. Look at who I am. When it comes from a heart of charity, it's not that. It's how can I serve you? How can I help you? God gave me this gift, and I have the gift of helps, or I have the gift of teaching, I have the gift of administration, I have the gift of whatever it might be, and I have this gift, and how can I use that not for people to look, wow, that's a great teacher. Wow, that's a great administrator. Wow, that's a great encourager. Oh, no. How can I use that to serve you? That's what he says here. Charity is better than God-given gifts. I met a preacher back as a college student. I interned in Arkansas for 3 months. I lived with a pastor there and a good friend of mine, and he had impacted my life. I went and lived with him for 3 months, and he asked me one day, he said, Ryan, I want you to go a couple hours away. I think it was Rosebud. I was living in Hot Springs. He said, I want you to go, I think it was Rosebud, I want you to go over there, and I want you to pick up this pastor. I'd never heard of his name. He said, his name's John Bishop. He said, I want you to pick up John Bishop, and I want you to go get him. He said, he can't drive right now, and I understand all about that. He said, so you're going to pick him up, you're going to bring him here, and he's going to speak. We're doing a radio broadcast. He's going to speak on a radio broadcast, and he's going to preach to our church. And when you go pick him up, I had no idea that day God would teach me some things that I would carry with me for the last 20-some years, however long it's been, 19 or 20 years. And hasn't been that long, 18 years, whatever it was. It's almost 20 years. And I went over and picked him up there and pulled into a campsite. He was a pastor, and their church ran, I think it's called the Triple S Ranch, and ran a teen camp. And I went, and he lived, he had a home on the ranch there. I went and picked him up, and he came out. I don't remember if he had a cane or not, but he kind of came walking out. It wasn't that old. And he kind of got in. It was tough for him to get in the truck. And I began to talk to him. And he talked like this. Didn't talk a word. Miss word, skip word. And, hey, bro, Ryan, my name's John. Nice to meet you. And I began to talk to him, and for 2 hours he began to tell me his story. And he told me how he came down with spinal meningitis. And spinal meningitis, it completely wiped away all of his knowledge, all of his gifts, if you will. I mean, he couldn't do anything. All of his memories. It wiped away all of his talents. At one point, he had been a pastor, pastoring a church, overseeing a huge teen camp that people came to all summer and doing all of that. He had adult children, I believe. At that time, he maybe even had some teen children. And he got spinal meningitis, and it wiped it all out. When he came through that bout, when he woke up, he didn't know who his wife was. He didn't know who his children were. He didn't know how to read. He didn't know how to walk. He didn't know how to do anything. His wife literally, like you would with a toddler, began to teach him, this is the alphabet, A, B, C, D. This is our wedding picture. This is when we got married. And he has some funny jokes he tells with some of that stuff, but about, you know, it's kind of good when you forget some things from earlier in your marriage and stuff. But began to teach him, and this is your child, and they were born here, and here's the picture, and now here's how you walk. You put one foot here, and then you put one foot there, and you put one foot here, and you put one foot there. And when I went to pick him up, I don't know if it had been a year or two, he was a little further down the recovery, but still not as good as he is now, 18 years later. It was just a couple of years after it had happened, or some short period of time. And I began talking with him, and I'll be honest, as a Bible college student, I was pretty impressed by the dynamic preachers. I was pretty impressed by the preachers with great God-given gifts. I would look at one that was funny and say, man, I want to be funny. I would look at one that was powerful. Man, I want to be powerful. I would look at one that could tell great stories. Man, I wish I could tell great stories. I would look at one that could find great truths from God's word. Man, I wish I could find great truths like that from God's word. I wish I had this engaging personality. And I would look at all of these gifts and as a young college student kind of admire and be enamored maybe by some of the God-given gifts. And I'm not against finding leaders in your life that we can, mentors that can influence us. But as I rode with him in that truck that day, I remember as I talked with him, he didn't have any of that. He didn't have the gifts, and he didn't have the dynamic personality, and he didn't have the ability to understand, and he couldn't even drive himself to the store. He couldn't do any of those things that he once could do. He had lost all of that, and I remember kind of feeling sorry for him, and I was talking with him, and I remember he made a statement. I pulled out a card after he made it, and I wrote it down. I've never forgot it. And he told me, he said, Brother Ryan, I can't preach anymore like I used to. I can't drive like I used to. Can't do a lot of things like I used to. He said, and here's what he said, but Brother Ryan, as long as I can love, I can help people. I've never forgotten that. Hey, Ryan, forget the gifts. And I'm not saying we shouldn't work on our gifts and develop ourselves. But charity is far greater than any of those gifts. Brother Ryan, as long as I can love, I can help people. There's a man that understood 1 Corinthians 13. Charity is better than God-given gifts. We say, well, I wish I could fill in the blank like so-and-so. All of us can love God and love others. Letter C, charity is better than miraculous accomplishments. Notice the second half of verse 2. He says, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. I don't know about you, but if I walked out and somebody moved a mountain, I would think they were something. But the Bible says if they did it without a heart of charity, they're nothing. The Bible says charity in our lives is greater than miraculous accomplishments in our lives. But here's what so often I find in my own life. I pray, God, would you work this miracle? God, would you fix this problem I can't fix? God, would you do this thing I can't do? But you know, very often I don't pray, God, would you give me charity? God, would you make me a more loving husband? God, would you give me more charity in my dealings with your people at Liberty Baptist Church? Oh, I pray all for, and we, God did this miracle, and God, and I'm for it. I'm thankful for miracles. I'm thankful for answered prayers. But Paul is teaching us charity is greater in our relationships and in our lives. It's better than miraculous accomplishments. It's a pretty amazing thing Paul says there. He says, if I have all faith and I can move mountains, if I don't have charity, I'm nothing. If I have all faith, but I don't have the right heart, I'm nothing. That's powerful. God, we pray, would you perform this miracle in my life? How about praying, God, would you help me to love people like you loved them? How do we value charity? Then lastly, charity is better than good works. Notice verse number 3, and we're done. And though I bestow, this is a pretty impressive list of good works. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, that's pretty amazing. And though I give my body to be burned, that's even more amazing. And notice this, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. If any one of us sold everything we had to feed the poor, we'd think that's an amazing person. Christ said if they did it for the wrong reasons, it's worth nothing. If somebody gave their body to be burned at the stake, pretty amazing. Paul said here, if he doesn't have charity, it's of no profit. We need to focus more on who we are than on what we do. And I'm not saying we don't focus on what we do. The Bible talks about provoke one another to good works. The Bible talks about that the love of Christ will constrain us. The Bible talks about that a love for God will motivate us to do good works. But I fear too often in our lives, because man looketh on the outward, God looketh on the heart. Because of that, we focus on the good works and we lose the heart of charity. We focus on what other people see and we forget what God knows. We focus on what we do, we forget about who we are. And Paul said, don't get it out of balance. Now, Paul's not teaching don't do good works. Paul's not teaching don't be sacrificial and give to feed the poor. Paul's not teaching if it comes time to it, don't allow your body to be burned. He didn't say that. He just said, don't get your priorities out of whack. What you value and what you believe is more important. He said, charity is before those things. The heart for why you do what you do is more important than what you do. In our lives, and may I say again, charity, a Christ-like charity, will lead us to good works. But good works with the wrong heart profit me nothing. Let's not forget that. We're going to jump in the coming Sunday nights into some of the characteristics. How do we know if we have a Christ-like charity? What does it look like in our lives? And I think you'll be helped in this study as we go verse by verse through 1 Corinthians 13. But tonight, an introductory week, don't be the symbol this week. Let's not do that. In our relationships, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I have not charity, I'm become a tinkling cymbal and sounding brass. Nobody's going to hear anything. It's not going to impact anyone. It's going to be of no value. In fact, it's just going to drive us farther apart. Charity. What is it? It is described as the highest attribute to strive for. It's that same love that God expressed to us in John 3:16 when he sent his only begotten son. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Lord, I thank you for your word. God, you know, as I've studied for this message, I've been convicted in my own heart and in my own life. So often, God, I focus on what other people see. So often, I focus on gifts. I focus on miraculous accomplishments. I focus on impressive attributes. So often I focus on good works. God, help me to remember the priority that you give to biblical charity. And God, help me in my life to value that and to see that to be the greatest. Their heads bowed and their eyes closed. If God has spoken to your heart, in just a moment, we're going to stand together. The altar will be open. And I would ask, why do we struggle so much in our relationships? I would suggest to you, it's because no man naturally will care for your state. But every man seeks his own. Why you and I struggle so often in this Christian life, we struggle in churches, we struggle at work, we struggle in family, is because we've not implemented this biblical charity in our lives. And I'm going to pray and seek that over the next several weeks that we will understand and begin to apply, and that our lives through the power of God's word will be transformed. Let's stand together. There's no piano playing tonight. In the quietness of this moment, would you come forward at this time? If God has spoken to your heart, you'd like to come forward at the altar, we can do that. There's time. Here, there at your seat, you can do that. Let's spend some time in prayer and ask God. Maybe your marriage is missing charity. Maybe your home is missing charity. Maybe you're missing charity in your dealings with your coworkers. Maybe you're missing charity in that other Christian that's annoying to you at church. Paul told us the greatest of these is charity. Folks are coming. Let's spend some time and ask God to help us to implement a Christ-like charity in our lives. Lord, I thank you for what we've heard today. I thank you for the privilege to be in your house. God, this morning, as we focused on what a Savior, I pray we wouldn't forget that. God, I pray we would share the truth of who you are with others this week. And then tonight, God, an introductory week on what is charity. Charity is the greatest. May we strive for charity above all other impressive attributes, above all other gifts, above all other miraculous accomplishments, above all other good works in our lives. God, I believe as we have a heart of charity, you'll use us to utilize those gifts for your glory. You'll use us to do miraculous things. You'll use us to do many good works. But God, may we not focus on those things in our relationships. May we focus on charity. How can we sacrificially and selflessly love those you've brought into our lives? With the love that you showed us in John 3, verse 16. I pray these things in Christ's precious name. Amen.